Well, let's talk about the cross this morning. It's communion. We've sang about it. And now let's talk about it in our time remaining. It's good to see everyone today. Two scriptures I'd like you to turn to. First of all, Galatians 6:14 will be our first one. And 1 Corinthians 1:18 will be our second. These should be on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. Galatians 6:14. I want to talk this morning about the welcoming cross. The welcoming cross. Galatians 6:14. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that, buddy. All right, Galatians 6:14, Paul says these words. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So Paul said, I have no boast. I have no room to boast at all about anything I am or I have done except in the cross. I can boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. And then he made an interesting statement, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Something happened, and I mentioned it last week, on the road to Damascus for Paul. As he saw that blinding light and he came face to face with Jesus, and Jesus challenged him with what he had been doing to the Christians, and he gave his heart to the Lord. He knelt at the cross and he was crucified, not in the literal sense, but in the spiritual sense. He died to the world and the world died to him. All his desires from that point on were in Jesus and what he could do for God. Then in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul will write these words to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So Paul to the Corinthians makes a comparison. To those who have rejected the cross and to those who have accepted the cross. To those who rejected the cross or those who are perishing, he said the cross is foolishness. The whole idea of giving your heart to Christ, living for God, in the day that he lived, and no doubt in the day to ours, the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, to we that have knelt at the cross, to us who have, we who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it is the power of God. There is power in believing in the cross of Jesus Christ and the work that it did. Amen? So there is a choice that we have to make in regards to the cross. Now, we see a lot of crosses today. We see them everywhere. We see them in jewelry stores and find necklaces and bracelets and lapel pins. You can see crosses. You maybe have one on your person right now wearing a cross. You can see them on athletes. You can see them on movie stars. You can see people on TV wearing crosses. And some are smaller, but most of them are huge and big and just emblazoned with gold and diamonds and all of that. And you might say, well, everyone who wears a cross must be a Christian. How many know that's not true? Come on, get with me today. Amen? Come on. Not everybody who wears a cross is a Christian. They may talk like it. They may say, God bless you, and those kind of things. But if they haven't been to the cross and accepted Christ as their Savior, they can wear a cross all they want to, but that is not what matters. What matters is what you do with Jesus. Come on, amen? It's the cross. So we see crosses everywhere. We see them in front of buildings. We see them on hillsides. We see them in different places. And for some people, it's encouraging. Cheryl and I were traveling a few years ago through Montana, and I believe it was Butte, Montana. We looked out on the hillside and saw this incredible cross up on the hillside, and that excited us. It was exciting. And then I think I heard later on there was a lawsuit trying to get that thing removed. How many know the cross upsets a lot of people? They don't like the cross. They'd like to see every cross tore down. They'd like to see every cross destroyed. They would like you not even to wear crosses because it is offensive to them. To them, it is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, the cross is a symbol of the power of God. Amen. Amen. Well, it is foolishness to many. They don't understand why Christians are so excited about a cross. There are some religions that hate the cross. They have their own symbols, but they hate the cross because they don't believe the cross is valid. They believe it's foolishness. But to us who are saved, the cross is a powerful symbol of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so, where do we stand with the cross? Well, I'm going to talk about, first of all, the welcoming cross, because really, that's what the cross does. The cross originally, as Jesus was crucified on it, was a hated symbol by the Christians. They didn't like the cross. The cross was, as I understand it, not maybe invented by the Romans, but some say it was, but it probably has a history that goes back even further. But the Romans were known for their crosses because that's where they put their enemies. That's where they executed the criminals. And that's why in the day of Jesus, you could go around Jerusalem and you could see crosses everywhere. You could see men and hanging on crosses that were criminals. And so it became a symbol of the tyranny of the Roman government. And so the Jews hated the cross. They thought anybody who was hanging on a cross was cursed in some way, shape, or form. That came from an Old Testament concept of cursed is everyone who hangs on a pole. And so they hated it. And so when Jesus died on the cross, I'm sure the disciples felt the same, that was the cursed cross. That was our Jesus took our curse for us, and that's where he died for us. But eventually the cross stopped being looked at in a bad light, and for Christians began being looked at in a good light, because it was the cross. It was there that everything changed. It was there where the Old Testament fulfilled, the New Testament began. It was on the cross that Jesus died for their sins. And so all of a sudden, and Paul was probably one of the leading proponents of this, let's look at the cross as something good. It was on the cross that Jesus died. It was on the cross that we knelt and could have our sins forgiven. It's the power of God that's helping us. And so it started becoming an incredible symbol of gratitude for the early Christians. And even so today. Amen. How many love the cross? Praise God. We love the cross because it represents what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it's a welcoming cross, because really the cross, as it stands, says, come, welcome, you're come. It's like our Statue of Liberty, if you will, that stands in New York Harbor, that says welcome to those immigrants that have come over and come into our country and became citizens of our nation. Well, the cross is our Statue of Liberty, amen? It is our Statue of Liberty. We know that when we give our hearts to Christ, He liberates us from sin. We sang about it. The first two songs this morning was, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Praise God. No longer a slave to fear. Why? Because Jesus has delivered us from that because of the power of the cross. So it's a welcoming cross. It says to everyone, come, come. Whosoever will may come, the Bible says. Now, not everyone will. Not everybody is going to get saved, I'm sorry to say. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. But we know that not everyone will. But whoever wants to can come and kneel at the cross and find Jesus as their Savior. Amen? I grew up, as many of you know, I tell the story, in Ceres, California, and on the little church that I attended, they had a cross, and it was illuminated at night, and it had the words, Jesus saves, on it. Jesus saves. Everybody say that. Jesus saves. And it just fit right on there. It was really great. And it would shine at night in that little bitty city. It's not little anymore, but a little bitty city. And I could see it at night, and it would say, Jesus saved. And when that early days, neon wasn't real dependable. And so sometimes neon would flicker, and it would kind of go out a little bit. And so sometimes it would go, it would kind of do like that. But I knew what it said. Jesus saves. The city knew what it says. Jesus saves. And even when the lights went out, and it was dark, and you still knew that cross was there. Hallelujah. I'm glad the cross is still there. Amen. Now, I don't know if it's there. I haven't been back to that town for many, many years. I don't know if the cross is still there or not. Maybe the church is torn down. I don't know that. But I know this. As a little boy, there was comfort in that cross. There was comfort. That was a welcoming cross. And every Sunday when Grandma would take me to church, I'd see that cross up on the church, and I knew that I was welcome there. I was welcome. You see, we see welcome signs everywhere. You see a welcome sign in a restaurant, and you say, oh, they must want me here. And then after your meal, you wonder why they said welcome. Come on. Come on. I was in a place the other day, and it says, welcome. You're welcome here. And I went in, and I knew right away from the hostess, I was not welcome there. They didn't want to be there. They wanted to be somewhere else. But we stayed anyway and left a tip anyway. But welcome, welcome. You see welcome mats, you see welcome signs. We say welcome to Landmark. And I hope nobody ever leaves here feeling like we didn't want him here. Come on, amen? Every one of us ought to be a committee of one that makes sure if we see a visitor, we welcome them and let them know we are really glad they're here. They are welcome in our church. Come on. Where everyone's welcome, that's the byline. Nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. How many believe that? Well, that's the byline of our church. Now, they may not stay, it may not be their cup of tea, they may not enjoy the things that we do or whatever, and that's fine. But we want everyone to be welcome. We want everyone to be welcome. And then I've seen welcome signs at the Department of Motor Vehicles. And I won't go there. The welcoming cross. And the cross does welcome us. And it welcomes every one of us this morning. And if you're here today, my friend, and you have not knelt at the cross, you haven't given your heart to Jesus, the cross is a beacon that says you are welcome at the cross. And what I love about the welcoming cross is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what you've done. None of that matters. Doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. Come to the cross because it's a welcoming cross. And it's almost as if the cross arms of the cross want to embrace you and let you know you are loved by God because God loves us. And that's really what the cross represents, is God's love. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. And so, if you are wearing a cross, represent that cross well. Represent that cross well. Make sure your life matches what that cross represents. That's what I believe Paul meant when he said, I have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. Second thing I want to talk about this morning is the cost of the cross. In Mark chapter 8, there is a cost to the cross. We look at the cross, and we know that it cost God his own Son. It cost Jesus his life. You can pay a lot of money for a cross these days. Depending on what jewels that it has in it, it can be a fortune. There's some crosses I've seen in pictures. I was in London and I saw one there, a jewel-encrusted cross that was priceless. The curator said that there's no price they could put on this ancient cross with all the jewels on it and everything. Or you can buy a little cross at maybe the dollar store and get it for $1.25. You can get a cross anywhere. But there is a cost of the cross. When you kneel at the cross, you make the decision, are you going to carry that cross? The Bible calls it our cross, your cross. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, listen to the words of Jesus, please. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, and this is before he dies on the cross, he said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, we understand that Jesus is talking about a cross that every one of us has to bear. Whatever life comes our way, life brings our way, some crosses are easier than others. But if we're going to follow Christ, we need to pick up our cross. But I think he was speaking prophetically of the day that he would die on the cross and we would have to make the decision, do we want to carry that cross? Because if we accept his death on the cross as ours, as our salvation, then I think that cross becomes our cross. That cross becomes something that we need to carry. He goes on to say, verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will a man give if he gains the whole world? I read the other day where one of the wealthiest men in the world, I won't mention the name, finally decided to turn over the majority of his funds, and I don't even know the amount, billions and billions and billions. He decided to turn them over to his son and let him manage them. And I didn't particularly like what the dad did with his money, but it's his money, do what he wants to with it. But I really don't like what his son's doing with it. And someone I read somewhere said, it's almost as if his son feels like he has to give account to no one because of all his money. Something to that effect, the quote. And I thought to myself, no, young man, you will give an account someday. Come on. You will give an account someday for what you did with that money. For what will it gain a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Because if you haven't come to the cross, if you haven't taken up the old rugged cross, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, all the money that you have, all the money in the world won't save you. Because you can't buy heaven. Come on. You can't buy heaven. And there's nothing wrong with money. We all need it to get by with. We all work hard for our dollars. And if you're retired, you've earned that retirement. Nothing wrong with the money. And if you've got a lot, praise the Lord. And if you've got a little, that's okay. We've learned to be content whatever state we're in, right? But we need to understand that none of us here today, none of us watching on the internet right now, none of us can buy heaven. It's already been bought for us by the death of Jesus on the cross. And the only way we get heaven is by taking up that old rugged cross and bearing the name of Jesus and letting him forgive our sins. Come on, amen? I know I'm talking to the choir today, but listen, that's the truth of it. So the cost of the cross. Verse 37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. If that was true then, how much more is it true now? We cannot be ashamed of the cross. Come on. We cannot be ashamed of the cross. We cannot be ashamed of it because there is a cost to the cross. And the cross is our decision to carry the cross, to bear the cross, to bury the cross, and to bear the cross. And then what does that mean? If we've made the decision to come to the cross, if we've come to the decision to give our hearts to Jesus, we made the decision to carry the cross, what does that mean? That's my third and final point. I want to talk about the way of the cross. What is the way of the cross? The early Christians, eventually, they became known, when they accepted Christ, it became known as the way. During the Jesus Revolution, there was a group, an organization that took that as their title, and it was called the way. It came from the expression that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And so, what is the way of the cross? The way of the cross is a decision that we have to make. Can't be forced on us. We have to make the decision. How are we going to live? How are we going to live? What standard are we going to live by? Are we going to live by the world's standard, or are we going to live by God's standard? Are we going to live by our own opinions, or are we going to live by the Word of God? That's the decision we have to make. And if we make the decision that we're going to carry the cross, we make the decision we're going to live the way, then the way we live matters. And then all of our decisions have to be made according to what God wants us to do, right? That's the way we live. And it can't be just little things. It has to be big things. It has to be everything. It can't just be selective things. We can't say, well, I'll live the way of the cross when it's easy, but when it's hard, I won't live the way of the cross. I told you about Pakistan last week. We prayed for Pakistan. We got a report, and the two young men that were falsely accused that caused for the burning of 22 churches by the Hindus. They burnt down 22 churches, burnt homes. Those two young men are still in prison, falsely accused. We're praying for them to get out. They're in prison for one reason, and that is because they have chosen the way of the cross. They have chosen to live for Jesus. And when it became hard and they were accused, they stood firm for Christ. They did not deny the cross. They picked it up, put it on their shoulder, and said, "We are Christians." They're in prison for that reason and that reason alone. Those young men have chosen the way of the cross. Amen? Can we do that? Well, we do that. It's easy to say, yeah, we will, but if we're faced with decisions like that, will we choose the way of the cross? I believe that we will. I believe that we would, the way of the cross. So the way of the cross is a decision in the little things and the big things. I read a story this morning of a young man, a teenager, who was fishing in Lake of the Woods in Michigan. Maybe you read the story. He was fishing for, a pike. Is it pike? Something like that. Whatever, you guys know. He was fishing for them, and he snagged something. And he thought, oh, I got a big one. And he reeled it in. And when he reeled it in, he didn't recognize it wasn't a fish. It was about this big, and it was heavy. And it had moss on it. So he put it in the boat, and he scraped the moss away, and it was a wallet. And he looked at it, and it had lots of money in it. And it had a license in it. So he had a decision to make. What do I do with it? And right away, someone said, wow, what are you going to do with that? It's like $2,000 in there, $100 bills. He said, there's a driver's license. I'm going to take it back to the owner. And someone said, well, you know, you'll never find him. There's no number there. But they started investigating, and they found somebody who knew that guy. That guy was a farmer in Iowa and had been fishing the year before in Lake of the Woods, and he had coveralls on, and it slipped out of his pocket, and it was gone. They found out his number, called him up, and said, "We found your wallet and the $2,000 that was in it, and we want to give it to you." And he couldn't believe it. Flabbergasted. He said, "Oh man, I can't believe it." He said, "No, just keep the money." And they said, "No, it's your money. We want to meet you. We want to give it to you. It's your money. And we don't want anything in return. We just want to do the right thing." And so the farmer said, "Okay, I'll meet you, but I'm going to take you to the best dinner you've ever had." And so they met, and they've determined to be lifelong friends. Why? Because a young teenager chose the way of the cross. Come on. The way of the cross, to do the right thing. Come on. Now, it would have been easy to make every excuse not to do the right thing, but he did the right thing. And I thought, on the way to church, I thought, what if there was not a license, and it was just the money? Well, the law says if you find something over $100, you have to turn it in and go through the 60-day process. But anyway, the young man did the right thing, right? Will we do the right thing? If we're choosing the way of the cross, we will. I want to go to John chapter 3 now. And I want to show you something that At least it's not often connected with John 3:16. So we all know John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So we've seen that verse. But what led up to that verse? What led up to Jesus saying that? Look at verse 14. This is what led up to it. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And he was talking about being lifted up on a cross. "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, for God so loved the world," etc. John 3:16 and the power of it comes from verse 14, where Jesus refers to something that happened in an Old Testament book called Numbers chapter 21. We won't turn there this morning, but in Numbers chapter 21, a group of people in the wilderness got very upset with Moses. There was a group of people who began to rebel against Moses. Not everyone did, but a group of people did. And they began to say things against the leader and begin to plot things against the leader. And it looked as if they were going to overthrow or try to overthrow Moses because they didn't like how things were going along. But remember, Moses is God's anointed leader, right? And Moses is leading them as God speaks to him. So this group of rebellious people, and so the Bible says that God sent serpents and it began to bite them. Serpents begin to bite them. God will deal with rebellion. Come on. God will deal with rebellion. And I want you to know today, right now, before we gave our hearts to Jesus, every one of us had been bitten by the serpent. We were in sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes me and that includes you. Come on, amen? We have been bitten by the serpent. So in that Numbers 21 story, Moses cries out on behalf of the people and says, "God, please, I want you to help them. I want you to forgive them. I think they'll repent." And God said, "Okay, then take a pole and cast a bronze serpent and put it on the pole and hold it up high. And everyone that looks upon the pole that's been bitten will be saved." And so the people looked on the pole, and the serpent on the pole, and the serpent on the pole represented the defeat of the serpent. Everyone that looks upon the serpent on the pole will be healed. That spoke of the defeat. That story is what Jesus refers to in verse 14 when he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. And we know Jesus was not a serpent, but because he was lifted up on a cross, if we look at him, we are saved from the serpent's bite. Come on. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? So look at the cross. He was lifted up. Jesus said, if anyone believes, lift me up, and I'll draw all men unto me. And when they see me, they can be saved. And how many are saved today because you've looked to Jesus? Come on, amen? You're saved today because you've looked to Jesus, not because of the church, not because of me, not because of someone who won you to the Lord. You are saved today, you're redeemed today, you're Christian today because of what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. And he said, so as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the power of John 3:16. Was people looking at the cross. And then once we see the cross and we pick it up and we carry it and we begin to live out the cross life, as hard as that may be. Worship team, will you come back? I've asked them to sing and lead us in one final song this morning. Let's all stand together, please. The way of the cross. Every one of us have to make a decision on what that means to us. But I hope every one of us will make the decision to live it, to live the way of the cross. When it's hard or when it's easy, to live the way of the cross. When you're happy or when you're sad. When you're anxious, frustrated, worried, concerned, live the way of the cross. When you've gone through good times, we've gone through hard times. Live the way of the cross. Look to the cross. And then say, my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. I want to celebrate the cross this morning by singing this final song as an anthem to the Lord. Amen.